Welcome everyone to another episode of our podcast. We're the Football Tailgaters, and here we talk everything about the NFL, including your picks for bets and fantasy. As always, I have here with me Yams, the Jets fan, Andy, the unbiased football fan, and myself, Aaron, the Cowboys fan. And with week two done, we've only got six teams left that are undefeated. And for me personally, I think one of them is the biggest surprise. And that would be the Giants being 2-0 right now, which is kind of crazy. But we got the Miami Dolphins, Buffalo Bills, the Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Giants, and then the Buccaneers. Those guys are all undefeated right now, so very few teams already left being undefeated. So that's pretty cool. In today's topics, we're going to go over the Cowboys and how, you know, they were the underdogs against the Bengals. They were counting them out, you know, with Cooper Rush being in. I guess they forgot against the Vikings what he did against the Vikings. What was it, last year, I think it was? Yeah, it was last year. And then Pittsburgh struggling as well with Mitchell Trubisky. We're going to ask the question if Kenny Pickett should start. And as well with the 49ers, Jimmy G is back. Some of them, I guess, for the 49ers, I don't really know what their thoughts are right now. Are they happy that he's back? What's going on with Trey Lance? You know, he's done for the season now. His ankle broke. You know, he got that big injury. Really disappointed in that. Sucks for him, but now it's time for Jimmy G to step up and see if he should be traded or not. If he can take that spotlight again, as he kind of has been. You know, he's been able to take the team to the playoffs. But anyways, we're going to be talking about those. But with the Cowboys, we're going to start with them. That was one hell of a game. It drives me insane, this team. This team, immediately I was like, my first reaction when I actually like witnessed them, you know, winning, they were doing pretty good. The offense is still very underwhelming. Sorry, but there's still some, I guess, good parts from it. You know, Noah Brown was great. Cooper Rush did his job. Elliott, as usual, he's been very underwhelming. That O-line isn't looking horrible, but it needs some work. And this just goes to show that Tony Pollard should really be the focus of this offense, which I don't know what's going to happen, because I feel like this team is kind of like unpredictable. At least that's why I think that's what they're going to be week in and week out this season. Is I don't trust them being, if they show like they're, I guess, going to be better than whoever they're going to go against. Like we got this Monday night against the Giants. I think they're going to win, but I'm not 100% confident in it. The Giants off to a strong start, as I said earlier, 2-0. Saquon Barkley has been great. Daniel Jones is Daniel Jones. No specific wide receiver that they have. It has been outstanding. It's kind of been like their games have been interesting, to say the least. But I want to get your thoughts on Cooper Rush and the Cowboys, guys. Can they continue to win games with Cooper Rush?
Absolutely, they can. If they actually win, they have the Giants, they have the Commanders, they have the Rams, the Eagles, the Lions, the Chicago Bears, then they have their bye week, and that's when Dak's supposed to come in against the Packers. I know Jerry Jones said that it might be way sooner, but if Cooper Rush continues to play well, there's no reason to just rush him to be back. So I do have him winning against the Giants, the Commanders, losing against the Rams, and the Eagles. They may be losing that one. And if they can win either the Lions and the Chicago Bears, they can go 5-3. And I think that's just with your backup and winning five games and being 5-3. I think that is like just a home run for Dak to come back and be able to continue and win some more games for them. So I'm pretty much thinking that they're still on the run to be okay. The first week on against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday, they looked awful. And just like how every Cowboy fan out there was probably thinking that just dismissing the Cowboys because they weren't excited, they didn't do any changes or anything. But with Cooper Rush, they did pretty well with Noah Brown. And they also were involving Pollard. Zeke also as well in the mix. CeeDee Lamb. So it was actually a pretty good game for them. I just like that they are not being too cute. They just had their plan. It was very organized. They ran the ball. They threw the ball just quickly, not making any quick play, like, I don't know, running around plays that Dak used to do. Like, they're not putting the ball into Dak's shoulders to win the game. It was a whole team win, and they look pretty good.
I like the optimism here, but so New York Giants do have a big issue, and it's the offensive line. Daniel Jones, I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think this is probably his last year. So we all saw that. I can't say all of the defense of the Cowboys is, you know, let's just call him Micah Parsons. So we have Micah Parsons, who is great, and he is the reason why that the Cowboys are still in it in the games. And I think that with the two quarterbacks they faced, which is, you know, Joe Burrow, and I know his offensive line, I guess it went through some remodeling, but it's not standing well as they thought. So he was the reason why, Micah Parsons is the reason why the Cowboys are still in it. So in the first 2 weeks, the two weeks that he has played, it's the reason why the Cowboys have won, in my opinion.
Well, they won against Cincinnati and lost against Tampa, but the Cowboys were continued in the game against Tampa.
Against Tampa, exactly. Right. But being that this is the Giants and it is the Cowboys and it's a rivalry between the two, and it's a Monday night, anything can happen. I do think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I believe that Dallas will continue, the defense will continue to help and keep Dallas in the game, and I do think they'll come out with a win.
They're considered underdogs in this one, 2.5.
That's not a lot. Spread.
The Cowboys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
it's going to be a close game, I think, for sure, without a doubt. And I think it's going to be a low-scoring one because both offenses are very underwhelming overall, and they've both got their O-line issues. So I think here is it may come down to the better defense and obviously the quarterback here.
Here's what makes me nervous, though. So the Cowboys, I think that they have better, players, but the Giants has a better coach. And that's how it's balancing out, because the Giants, they're 2-0, and it seems like the coach is just doing a really good job with Daniel Jones. And, you know, in the end, like, what do you guys think about who's a better quarterback, Daniel Jones or Cooper Rush?
Daniel Jones.
I don't think we've seen enough of Cooper Rush to really determine that, because we've seen a lot from Daniel Jones, and he can be pretty inconsistent. I don't think it's a fair comparison.
For me, since I haven't seen much of Cooper Rush, the easy answer for me would be Daniel Jones.
If you had to choose, yeah.
If I had to choose, it's Daniel Jones. So
only because we haven't seen enough from Cooper Rush.
But I don't think you want to see a lot from Cooper Rush. You want your quarterback back. So
no, what? I do want. Why not? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's your backup. You want to know if he's competent enough to actually be your backup. Why are you going to have him there if he can't win you games?
Yeah,
everybody's on that roster to win you games.
It's the whole point of a backup, right?
Yeah. No, I he's definitely capable, and he showed it last game. So
he showed it because that the team, obviously the Bengals, is not the same team that we
yes,
thought they, that they
but
were.
They're not so garbage, right? They're not.
We
horrible.
Don't know that. It's still week two.
They've got the talent. I mean, they've only upgraded their O-line, right? And they haven't really lost any players, from my understanding. Any significant players. Except the tight end, right. Except the tight end, you're right. So they're kind of basically the same roster, right? It's just they're off to a rocky start. They gotta really fix these things that they have.
And I've always said this, it's like a different coach. It's a different scheme. I know Daniel Jones is still there, but how does a rival still exist between two teams, even though like the system has changed so much, but it still remains a competitive game? So I think the Cowboys can come out and win this. I know they're the underdogs. I just think the defense it's the one that's going to, you know, come out with the win here, because if you think about the last two teams that the Giants played, they played the Panthers, where I think Matt Rhule is on the hot seat. I think Panthers is eventually going to be garbage.
Well, like you say, it's week two.
It's week two. And then they also played against Tennessee Titans in the first one. And they also, they've lost, A.J. Brown?
Yeah, no, they look pretty bad.
They look pretty bad. They look pretty bad.
Yeah.
So if you look at the two teams that Giants has played and you compare the Cowboys, I mean, they played one good team, which is Tampa, and Bengals, where I think it's kind of questionable more on the garbage side. I see the upside more with the Cowboys winning a close one. Close. I say probably by a field goal, but it's going to be a close one.
Well, I think here's the key for the Cowboys to win against the Giants. It's the running game. Because with Cooper Rush, there's tape on him. There's more tape on him. And the Giants head coach, I think that he's a pretty smart dude. So I think it's going to just make him a little bit trouble for like Cooper Rush to do things when throwing the ball. So if the Cowboys can do a good job running the ball, they can actually control the game, especially with that defense. And like you were saying with Micah Parsons doing his thing against Daniel Jones and also stopping Saquon Barkley, because that's another key factor there.
That's a big one.
So that's the keys for me for Cowboys to be able to pull this game off.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's to force Daniel Jones to throw down the field, and that's where his mistakes come.
Yeah, exactly. So you said it yourself, but I'm sure that with the Daniel Jones, they're going to put him to throw the ball pretty quickly, either to Shepard or to...
I don't even know who's on that
team. I think Galladay. Well, I think Galladay
is Tony.
Yeah, Tony. I wouldn't say Galladay.
Kenny Galladay.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been doing really well there.
And then Sterling Shepard.
Sterling's still there? I feel like I'm back in 2009. This is weird.
2009? That's been a long time.
What? He's been on that team forever. I mean, how long has that guy been
on that? It's been such a while.
We're still talking about this guy?
Yeah, I'm thinking like 6 years probably. Yeah. Well.
So some key players, obviously, on the Cowboys defense with Parsons and Diggs, Trayvon Diggs.
Dalton Schultz, is he available?
I
think he's questionable right now.
He may miss time, right?
Yeah, the tight end.
Yeah.
But you know, something about the Cowboys is that not only Michael Parsons was showing up against Cincinnati, and you might have a good point with the offensive line with Cincinnati, Yams, and that they're just having a lot of trouble with that offensive line because they were pressuring Burrow constantly. Mm-hmm. Like he couldn't do much. He was throwing the ball away.
But I mean, it's a good defensive line and linebacker sets that the Cowboys have. They're not nothing, obviously, and like they gave them trouble.
Yeah,
and I think that's what it takes for the Bengals to give focus on the offensive line to finally realize, hey, you know, this is a real problem. We need to do something about this.
No, the Dallas defense is no joke with Dan Quinn there. They held Tom Brady to 19 points.
Could you say?
It's a top five defense.
It's a top five defense.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they're good.
100%. And Dan Quinn is doing a phenomenal job. That's the reason why the Cowboys are probably going to be in this season, because of the defense.
It seems like they're more disciplined than the offense, and you can tell because of the coordinators. Obviously, we go back again to Kellen Moore again, his flaws, and possibly McCarthy dipping his toes in there as well.
Well, he was wasn't McCarthy calling him out a bit? Before the game, saying that he needs to do.
Yeah, so I wouldn't doubt that McCarthy's getting in there himself because Kellen Moore is not doing his job.
Yeah,
you can clearly see that. So we might not see him. He went from having some possible interest in being a head coach for a little bit. I don't know if you guys remember that with Kellen Moore too. Just possibly going to some other team, being maybe an offensive coordinator at best.
Yeah, so supposedly he was going to be a head coaching candidate.
Yeah, I think it's too soon. That hype is over, is what I'm saying. Is now that this season that hype is kind of dying down, and people are starting to point it out more.
Well, and don't get me wrong. I mean, the season can always turn around for the Cowboys and just go into a negative slide. Like, honestly, like, they probably maybe had, like, a really good game against the Bengals, but against the Giants, maybe the Giants are going to be showing, like,
that's what I'm saying. They're unpredictable. Yeah. They're unpredictable, and I don't like that. They make me nervous. They're not a lock for every single game that they should win. Like, they should win against the Giants because they have the better roster, but it's not a lock.
Right.
And that's why the Giants are favorites. Anyways, Micah Parsons was great. Trayvon Diggs was great. He, you know, it's to some stats you can point out. Now, I don't like it because every time it's like right before a game and Trayvon Diggs is going to be matched up against, you know, Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase, everybody's like, oh, he's going to get smoked because, you know, he's known as that big gamble of like the 50-50. He bites a lot and he takes a lot of risks. And he gets a lot of that trash talk and they say, oh, he's trash, he's overrated, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes out and performs. He, you know, in coverage with Jamar Chase, 2 catches allowed, 14 yards only. And now they're overhyping him. The fans, the Cowboys fans are like, oh, he's the like top 3 corner in the league, blah, 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 and whatever. I don't like it when they do that because I think he is a very competent cornerback. Obviously, he has a lot of great talent, but he is that like big risk, big reward type of guy.
Yeah, well, didn't he close the game in the end? Making that
Exactly. He's getting better at knowing when he should jump on those big opportunities, and he's doing a great job. Like, he got that big stop against, what's his name?
Chase?
Tyler Boyd, I think it was. No, it wasn't Chase, remember? It was like 3rd and something, and then they threw it to the flat. You don't remember? It was exactly, he shot out a cannon. They were just talking about that, and it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Really? it was Tyler Boyd, I'm almost certain. But that's what gave the Cowboys basically the win. It was him. He shut it down. Anyways, that's clearly the highlight right now for the Cowboys, and Cooper Rush has to do the job, and hopefully Kellen Moore's, I guess, lack of, I don't know, just I don't want to be so harsh on him, but like, he's not being a good offensive coordinator right now. It's just, we hope for the best for that offense to keep up with the defense. But anyways, I think we should move on from there and talk about Kenny Pickett and Mitchell Trubisky with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't watch the game, but Andy, I'm pretty sure you can talk about it more clearly. But I know that they were struggling. You know, you were mentioning against the Patriots. They lost against the Patriots. And Mitchell Trubisky is just being, you know, Trubisky. He's not playing good. He might be in question here. I don't think he's going to be benched, but should Kenny Pickett start for the Pittsburgh Steelers to maybe get something going here for them?
I mean, the buzz is starting to happen to go for the change at quarterback there at Pittsburgh. The fans are really impatient when it happens, when your quarterback is underwhelmed, right, and playing against 2 teams, again, Bengals. Here we are with the Bengals topic. Bengals showing that they're not the strong team that they were when they went to the Super Bowl. And I think both of you can agree with me. Now, they did play Patriots this last week, and the Patriots are, and one thing that you can say about Bill Belichick is he knows how to exploit below average quarterbacks, and that's what Mitchell Trubisky is. That team, Steelers, they're not the same team they used to be. So should Trubisky fall flat this next game, I think it's Thursday night against the Browns.
Yep.
I think they will start Kenny Pickett against the Jets, which doesn't make me happy because that's like a wild card thrown to the Jets. So I do think that if he does not perform well against the Browns, that they will start calling for his head.
The Browns are opening as favorites here, 4.5, by the way, for the spread.
Their favorite, or by 4.5.
Yeah, which we'll get to the bets because I kind of like that one.
Well, I agree with you, Yams. They did play Mitch Trubisky against the Patriots, or whatever you want to call it, Mac Jones against Mitch Trubisky, whatever. They both had a horrible games, both the Patriots and the Steelers.
Right.
But the Steelers, I believe they do have some okay weapons, honestly. I mean, they have Najee Harris, which for me, in my opinion, he's like in the borderline of that top 5 running back. Deontay Johnson, he's a playmaker. Chase Claypool as well. Then they have a rising star with George Pickens. I'm excited to see him. Probably later in the season, he's going to break out more for those fantasy people that have him. Just stash him away in your bench. And they also have a good tight end with Pat Freiermuth. I'm sorry if I'm saying the name incorrectly. But I see the problem with the Steelers is that their O-line is just not good at all. I mean, Najee Harris, bless that guy. He gives it his heart out every single game, and he is just having trouble with that O-line. And Mitch Trubisky, well, he's also having some difficulty with that. So that's something that you have to consider with your rookie. If you're just putting him there with a bad offensive line, just like Cincinnati has some problems with the O-line. So next, they do play on Thursday against Cleveland Browns. Of course, you have to stick with Mitch Trubisky in that game. Cleveland Browns just lost against the Jets. In my opinion, they should have won. If Chubb just kneeled down instead of scoring, the game would have been over. But I mean, kudos to the Jets that they were able to score twice and get an onside kick in less than 2 minutes in order to win the game. But they are playing, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to play the Cleveland Browns. They're not a horrible, horrible team, the Cleveland Browns. They do have a lot of playmakers there as well. So this is Mitch Trubisky's last chance to continue being the starting quarterback, because if he doesn't, you have to start Kenny Pickett in the next game against the Jets, because after the Jets, their schedule is super hard. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they play the Bills afterwards, and then the Buccaneers, then the Dolphins, then the Eagles, then the Saints, and then it goes down, like, maybe depending on how the Bengals are by November 20th, and you have the Colts and the Falcons. But you have a big time, a slate of games that are just difficult teams. So this is the last chance for Mitch Trubisky, in my opinion, or else just go ahead with Kenny Pickett, and just since they're playing this Thursday, he'll have like a week and a half to prepare.
Should he start? From what I saw in the preseason, he seemed like he could be good enough to just start right away.
There's been situations in which other preseason, in the preseason, with other rookies that they look good. But then when the season starts and they're playing with the big stars and the whoever they're playing against, that's when they start to crumble. Hence, Justin Fields last year, he was playing lights out in preseason. Everybody was excited and he's struggling. So
you say he shouldn't start?
For me, I would start him after those difficult games. It really depends on how they play on Thursday, right? But I mean, for me, to protect that quarterback, because he's a rookie. So I would feel comfortable knowing that this season is probably not going to go well for the Pittsburgh Steelers at the very end. I mean, they're not going to go to the Super Bowl against Kansas City or the Chargers. It's pretty obvious, right? So I would feel comfortable for him to start like towards the middle of the end of the season. Give him the start against probably the Colts, and then he has the Falcons, and then you have a division rival against the Ravens, then you have the Panthers, which are struggling, then you have a little bit of harder game with the Raiders, then the Ravens again, then the Browns again. So you give him a feel of that division and to see how those teams play against your team. So I would protect that quarterback, the rookie quarterback, and just put him in the end of the season.
I don't think
there is no rush. There is no rush to throw him in there, especially with that kind of O-line that they have. A good example is Joe Burrow. You know, they just kind of threw him in there with a bad O-line. And look, he got injured and he was gone for the whole season. You need to protect your young talent, your face of the franchise, QB. You need to protect them. There's no rush here. You got a, you know, semi-decent quarterback with Trubisky. He can play good, but you know, for the most part, he won't.
I agree with you. It's just those fans. I mean, anybody as a fan just are really eager to see what that quarterback has.
Oh yeah, right? For sure.
But
for sure.
I like
to
remind like fans, like, look at Peyton Manning's first year. It was pretty bad. Look at Troy Aikman's first year. That was pretty bad. So I'm just saying, I agree
with
Aaron.
You gotta nurture your franchise QB and make sure he's gonna be fine. There's no rush. You'll be fine. First get that O-line fixed, and then we could talk about starting him, right?
Right. I agree.
There's no rush, and I don't think he will. It seems like Mike Tomlin's thinking the same way. There is no rush. You'll be fine. Trubisky all the way this season, and then we'll figure it out in this offseason. What's gonna happen, you know? Where they end up, they'll end up. There's no problem. AFC's a highly competitive conference right now. There is no rush. Take your time. You're on the bottom side. If you do force it, you're going to be barely a wild card at best. That's basically it. I mean, it sucks. Yeah, but you got to be patient with your team. They've had plenty of successful years. Give it some time now. You don't want them struggling. What about on the NFC side, though? With the big injury that came this past Sunday, really sucks. I was hoping to see more from Trey Lance. He broke his ankle. Really tough luck. Maybe an example of why you shouldn't really throw your guy out there that quickly. He's out for the whole season, and Jimmy G's in, and he did Jimmy G things. He showed out and won the game. Do you think that the 49ers are going to be at least one of the top contenders in the NFC?
Keeping Garoppolo on the roster all of a sudden doesn't seem like a foolish move after all, huh?
Yep, they got lucky.
They got lucky. So
if they ever got close to trading him, if there was any kind of like degree to how close they were, they got lucky either way.
I don't know if they got close to trading him. I don't think anybody wanted Garoppolo. I mean, at least...
No. From what we know.
How if you're a team, just answer me this. Your starting quarterback goes down where you have this upside in, for example, Trey Lance, who, by the way, is in one of my leagues, a quarterback, which... I got 2 points and he went down.
He was supposed to be a sleeper this season.
Yeah.
I had him on my list too. I wanted to get him.
So, but how many teams can you say that, I don't know about you guys, I didn't consider San Francisco a Super Bowl contender team with Trey Lance. But how many teams can say that now that your backup is back, is a quarterback now because your starting quarterback is out, is now a Super Bowl contender team? How many teams can say that?
No, not much. Not that I can think of right now.
Right? Isn't that nuts? So San Francisco now is considered...
Would you say Flacco?
Flacco. Oh, gosh.
The Super Bowl winning Joe Flacco. Right?
Broadway Joe Flacco.
No? All right.
San Francisco now is a Super Bowl contender team, in my opinion, after losing their starting quarterback and now Jimmy Garoppolo. Not every team can overcome such a loss and still, or not still, but be a Super Bowl contender team. So all of a sudden, they're in the discussions. They're in the discussions. Hey, then maybe they can get there again. Like last year, they were almost there with Jimmy. If they just fix
whatever they need to fix,
whatever Jimmy can overcome, they can get there. They can get there.
Well, they've done it before. They have gone to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Exactly. So it's just crazy to me. And I think after Trey Lance going down, you know, him hanging out at the strip club or some house, you know, throwing money, making it rain, should I say. I just don't think it's a good look. I don't think it's a good look on the kid. It's just not a good look. He was just blowing his money. He should be studying the book.
He doesn't have the good people around him to tell him, like, hey, you're not in the best like situation. I know that they did a lot for the 49ers to get you in the draft. So they should have like really stuck to him so he can actually show this year to everybody how good he is if he has that talent.
See, maybe he's not the same mindset as myself, but if I know the team drafted me at the third pick and they give away picks for me and I'm being seen making it rain, I'd be really embarrassed. I'm not saying you can have fun. You can have fun, right? But there's things you can have fun in and things you should not have fun where you know you're going to be criticized for.
Well, at the end of the day, if he was in the strip club and he'd be like destroying teams and winning, nobody would have been talking about it. They'd be like, well, he's just really talented. It's just because, mm-hmm. But because he struggles, you bring all this up and trying to put him in that corner saying, you know what, you might be a bust and you might be an issue here. And then you just put Jimmy Garoppolo back. But I agree with you, Yams. I think the 49ers are actually a contender now. They've done it year after year. I mean, they almost went to the Super Bowl last year too as well. And so they are a contender no matter what. I mean, they have a good defense. They still have Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. They still have the running backs, even though they have some new ones as well. But I believe in that coach, Coach Shanahan, that he can figure things out again. But I do feel bad with the situation that they just need a quarterback and they just can't get there like Sean McVay did with Matthew Stafford. So they are contenders. I don't know if they can go all the way to the Super Bowl.
They're opening as 1.5 favorites in against the Broncos.
Well, that's another story with the Broncos. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, the Broncos are having their issues too. And
you had them pretty up there.
This country, let's fall.
Yams, you were saying that the coach.
But we didn't have that as a topic.
I know, but it's a good one.
What I've been saying all week, well, at least all Sunday.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Hackett can't hack it.
Yep. That's pretty good. It could be that the head coach is that might be the problem. I mean, I believe that the head coach actually was the reason why they didn't have a chance to win on that Monday Night Football against Seattle.
Oh no, it was so obvious. Everybody was blaming him. How are you not going to put the guy you're paying millions of dollars,
hundreds of millions of dollars,
to win you the game?
Exactly.
And you struggle against Texans.
And we're thinking that they have okay weapons with Jerry Jeudy, and then though he got hurt, Cortland Sutton, Patrick Surtain.
So
he actually is out too. But the Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, they do have some good pieces, and I mean it's Russell Wilson. Unless that Russell Wilson is going down as well, I just put that Seahawks game into a situation that coach Pete Carroll knows him, and it just made it difficult for Russell Wilson. But him having this Russell Wilson struggling in this last game also puts in question like what's happening, even though it's week two as well.
Yes, it's still a little bit early, but you can clearly see that the performance is in there when the talent is there, you know?
The talent is there, you are right.
Yeah, the talent is completely there.
The O-line might be a little bit of a question mark though.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's
not a little bit. It is a one question of the mark.
It's one of the weaknesses that they have, but it's Russell Wilson. He should find a way. It's not like he always had the perfect O-line in Seattle.
And you know what I did notice? I didn't see all the game, but there's parts of the game that I did see. He is not really using his legs as he used to.
Could be Hackett.
It could be Hackett, or it could just be his age, or it could just be like, you know, this is the type of quarterback I've always wanted to play, is to sort of kind of be not a pocket passer, but not to make gains with my legs, like Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I believe, I don't know who said it. I saw some analysts say that Kyler Murray, how he's scoring is like how Russell Wilson started. He was just running around through the red zone and just waiting for somebody to get open and then just finding him, just like Kyler Murray did this last game against the Raiders. So
he looked funny doing it.
Yeah, he did, but he won the game, and that's what Russell Wilson used to do. And now, since he has all these weapons, maybe like Yams is saying, he wants to be like a pocket passer. But I think in time, he is a smart quarterback that if he needs to use his legs and they're losing games, then he's going to adapt and he's going to figure out a way to win. I do think that Russell Wilson has a big say on what things are happening. I mean, I believe when they did the trade with the Broncos, they had a deep conversation how Russell Wilson wants to handle the offense and be more part of it. I mean, he was asking for his own office, which he does have now. So I think they might turn it around later. It's just a wait and see type of thing.
I don't know, Andy. I was with you riding the season with Broncos. Let's ride. I don't know if I'm seeing the whole ride thing. I think they're.
It's week two.
It is week two.
As of so far right now, I agree. It's looks into the negative side instead of the positive side.
There's been plenty of cases anyways where the team is either 1-1 or 0-2 and then they go to the playoffs. It's fine.
And you know the Texans, I mean, we don't know what they are too. Yeah. I know that we all put them like in the corner of saying like, yeah, they're not a good team, but I mean, maybe they're like a decent, better than decent team. Who knows?
Well, no, I know
they've been performing better than the Panthers, in my opinion.
all off season we were all kind of high on Texans, so I'm not surprised that they're in games. They're not a garbage team. They're being competitive in the fourth quarter. They're not the same Texans they were last year.
That game against the Colts, it was week one, right? Mm-hmm. But like, it was such a shock for me to see that.
Me too.
Taking them, a playoff caliber team, taking them to the
me too.
Overtime. That was something.
I was pissed. I had the Colts in my ticket. I was like, wow.
No, the Colts are having some issues.
Yeah, something's up with the Colts.
Big issues. Something's up.
I think it might be Frank Wright. That's the issue there. So back to the Denver. So Denver is a team that's like kind of brand new to everything, right? They have a brand new coach. Mm-hmm. They have a brand new quarterback. They have a brand new owner.
Right.
So they're a great value team now. So everything's still, I guess, still finding a way to work. So we need to let that team figure it out. And I just don't, yeah. In my opinion, so far, I'm going to say it again, Nathaniel Hackett just can't hack being a head coach, at least in the week. These 2 weeks. He's just doing rookie mistakes.
Yeah, because of him, they lost week two. They didn't have a chance. I wouldn't say everything falls on him, because they could have done some plays that to be more ahead of that game against Seattle.
Right.
But the last chance that they had to win that game is because of the head coach, which you're probably used to, Aaron, with the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The 49ers. I got distracted. It's because we were talking about the Broncos and we really steered away from the 49ers.
Oh, the 49ers, yeah. Well,
to conclude, they're a contender.
Yeah, I agree that they're a contender now.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Jimmy.
No, yeah, for sure. So, before we end it, really quick, just some quick thoughts on anything you guys want to say about the week two and... Like, I was surprised the Jacksonville Jaguars shut out the Colts, you know. That was a big surprise for me.
That is a surprise, but I've been telling Yams that I'm before the season started, that I'm really excited of how the Jaguars are going to play out with Trevor Lawrence. It was a really good quarterback from college.
Yes.
And Doug Peterson coming, a Super Bowl-winning head coach, and how he's going to develop this team. Because you see all these players that they have, and they're not like fantastic, like, oh my gosh, these are great players. Christian Kirk, Jones, and I mean, I do like the running backs, Robinson and Etienne. I would hope to see Etienne playing a little bit more, but the quarterback is doing a good job. And then the defense, how the defense is also, like you just said, Aaron, they just stopped the Colts and just left them with 0 points.
It's just kind of crazy. I just wanted to see some. I'm looking at Lawrence's stats. I just noticed that he's my age. He's 2 months older than me, which is crazy.
And what are you doing? Where's your millions
doing
of dollars?
A podcast.
Where's your millions of dollars?
Wow, I didn't know he was 22. That's wild. He's fifth in QBR, so he's doing pretty good right now. He's got 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's 14th in total yardage. He's been playing good, and I'm happy about picking up Christian Kirk. I had a feeling that the Jaguars were going to be doing better than what people had him at, so I'm happy about that. I'm not complaining about anything. Good for them.
I shouldn't say anything. He's 11 years younger than me, so.
Oh, God. First game, they had a 28-22 against the Commanders. They lost that one, and then they shut out the Colts week two, which is... crazy. He had a really good game. The Dolphins crazy. Tua, how many touchdowns?
4.
Too many to count.
Six.
Yes, he had six.
Four in the last, like in the last quarter.
Oh, in the last quarter.
Yeah,
okay.
And to make them.
Oh,
win.
But total was 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're pretty serious now. I think I would.
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, I think so. I think from what people were talking about them, we even talked about on this podcast, they were just trashing Tua. Oh, he can't even like.
I was trashing Tua. I was trashing Tua, trying to like prove it to me this season. And
he's made some big time throws.
I have him in my fantasy as my quarterback. So even though I'm trashing on him, I'm like. Rooting for him. So
Jalen Waddle balling out, Tyreek Hill balling out, and Tua's balling out. Defense is pretty good.
Why would Tua say that he can't see because of the offensive linemen are bigger than him? So if he can't see the wide receiver, like, I'm not going to throw it to you. Like, I don't think that's something you should say. And he's not that short either. He's above, he's high, he's taller than 6 feet. I mean, he's taller than Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. So those are the things that you're not supposed to say.
He just finally has the roster, and he's good enough to take them to win games, win very competitive games. With Baltimore. I mean, they're not garbage, and they lost.
And the coaches might be decent.
The coach might be the reason why they were in it. I'm not saying that Tua is not also part of the reason.
The surrounding cast is why they're doing so good.
It is.
I don't think anyone's saying, oh, because of Tua, they're doing so good. Nobody's saying that. I think it's just, look at that team as a whole. Like, they're doing pretty good. And I think Tua has a lot of thank yous to say. He's been given one heck of a team. Besides that, what other games stuck out for you guys?
Well, not really. Well, all the games that were, they were down in the fourth quarter and win it, you know, the Jets, Arizona, Miami. I mean, those three games were exciting. Now, the team that's kind of like pretty impressive to me is the Eagles. I'm seeing and I'm like, damn, these guys are good.
Yeah, they look pretty good.
And then
they're scary.
I trashed Jalen Hurts the entire offseason, and I feel like I'm going to have to eat my words on Jalen Hurts. It's so
great
early.
Great fantasy pickup.
Yeah, fantasy pickup, sure. Yeah. Still early, but he's really proving me wrong, Jalen Hurts.
I think a lot of it has to do also with Kirk Cousins just being Kirk Cousins and having that
prime time.
Yeah, shrinking in prime
time. Yeah, awful performance. Yeah. Like a lot of the throws were just so stupid.
Well, just keep throwing throwing it to Slay Jr. Is that his name?
To Slay.
Yeah, Darius Slay.
Slay Jr. I think
He was just giving those throws to him. Like,
well, he was trying to force him to Jefferson.
He was forcing a lot to Jefferson. It feels like he was panicking. He didn't have nothing in the running game. Dalvin Cook was non-existent. And, heck it, dude, Justin Jefferson's down there somewhere. That's basically that meme. That's who he was right now or yesterday. It was horrible, horrible performance. Very embarrassing. But I don't think it's like... It doesn't mean like he's horrible. It's just it's Kirk Cousins, and that's what he does.
It's like he's trying to accomplish it. Just I have to. Okay, it intercepted once. Okay, twice. He almost got you. Third. Oh, I almost got you again. Let me just keep trying.
Jefferson was very upset. Very upset.
Well, it's because the balls weren't even like thrown.
They were so bad. Really bad. Like, what was the last one? I think it was the last interception he did. It was just given to him. Something like that. One of the last two. It was just. Why would you ever do that? He threw one where he was like backpedaling. It's just so bad. It was horrible. It was so embarrassing.
Yeah, the solution is not to put Kirk Cousins in primetime game. Just don't put him there. Don't put that team.
But I wouldn't diminish the Eagles and I wouldn't take away any credit from them. They're a very solid team, and I think they're pretty scary, and I think they're going to be very early say, I think they're going to be number one in the East.
Probably.
Right.
As of now, yes. And they look, as of now. Yeah, they do look better than all those teams, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Commanders. They just look more of a complete team.
Yep. I think that was it for me. I don't have any other games that really stuck out. The Falcons, real quick. I think the Falcons have been having some very interesting games. For how like
why aren't they using Kyle
lackluster?
Pitts? Why aren't they using Kyle Pitts? Honestly.
Yeah. Right. But. Look, the last two games, like this past game, they lost by, what was it, like 4-3? It was 31-27. It was such a close game against the Rams.
Yeah, and they caught up at the end. It was a return kick, or no, was it a...
It was a blocked
field goal. It was a blocked field goal, or a blocked punt, and then they returned it for a touchdown. So it got them back in the game. Yeah, crazy games this week.
Yeah.
And then they lost week one against the... Saints by 1 point.
By 1 point.
And right now, I think their next matchup is... Where is it at? Real quick.
Their next matchup...
The Seattle. And I think they're opening as underdogs, which I think, you know, next episode we're going to talk about some stuff for lock picks and stuff like that. But I think the Falcons are pretty interesting team to watch out for, I think. And
I say just
they're not garbage.
Well, they need to figure out a way to get the ball to Kyle
Pitts. But they need, with all the issues that they have.
I mean, they honestly, they got him last year on the fourth overall pick. And you're not even using him?
Yeah.
What's up with that? Yes, I'm a little biased because I have him in all my fantasy leagues almost.
That's why you're really mad.
But, I mean, come on. Like, what are you doing?
Seattle opening with 2-point favorites here. So we'll see about that. But yeah, I think that's going to be it for this episode of Football Tailgaters. Again, thank you to anyone that's made it to the end. We hope to see you guys interacting with our social media and stuff. Football Tailgaters on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. But yeah, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you.
Laters.